I'd like to welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit, Gavin Castor and Anya Harasme. We're going to be talking about kinship caregivers. Gavin is the Presbyterian Senior Services Youth Services Manager. They're in New York City. He's originally from Syracuse. He graduated from the University of Vermont with a degree in economics and sociology. His previous work focused on organizing people and outreach for progressive causes in over a dozen different cities, from New Orleans to Kansas City to my hometown of Philly and finally New York. Anya is PSS Senior Director of Older Adult Services. She oversees 9 senior centers throughout the Bronx and Manhattan and 3 senior residences, including the grandparent family apartments. She's a licensed master social worker, received her seminar in field instruction from Lehman College. She has a BA in communications from Roger Williams University in Rhode Island and her master's in social work from Fordham. So welcome both of you to the Caregiver Summit.
Thank you.
All right. So why don't we just jump in and talk about these grandparent family apartments, what they are, what the rationale was for setting them up, and the services you provide.
Sure. So the mission of the PSS, and we're partnered with Westside Federation for, I'm butchering it, senior and supportive housing. We built the grandparent family apartments to provide a safe space, safe and affordable housing for grandparents raising their grandchildren. This started in 2005 when we started seeing a lot of our senior center members at one of our senior centers across the street coming in with their grandchildren. And we saw that there was a big need and there wasn't a lot of services for kinship families. So that's how the rationale for the building kind of began. So we have about 55 to 60 grandparents in the building and almost 100 grandchildren. And there are 42 bedroom apartments and 10 three bedroom. They're all designed to accommodate the needs of both the older adult and the grandchildren. What's nice about the building is it offers 24-hour front desk service. We have a library, laundry on each floor, which in New York is a very big deal. We have senior and youth community rooms. We have a green roof on the a green roof garden and a relaxation area. And what's special about us is that on site we have kinship staff like Gavin and some others that provide services to both to the whole family.
Okay, so you know how big are these statistics in terms of grandparents raising grandchildren? It's a topic that seems to have really come in the forefront the last couple of years.
Yes, I don't have the current statistics, but it definitely seems to be a growing population. And I think, you know, with any kind of caregiving, a lot of times they're unidentified families. So, you know, even what we do know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that don't consider themselves a caregiver or a kinship family because they just think, you know, this is my role and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so they might not be seeking services and represented in any numbers. So.
Right. Okay. Well, can you give me a couple examples of families who have thrived thanks to living in these apartments?
Absolutely. So to take kind of a macro picture on the building, last year, the GFA building helped about 120 youth stay out of a foster care system. 92% of these youth, these young people progressed to the next grade in school. One of the biggest advantages of our youth program is that it happens literally downstairs. So there's really consistent attendance for ranging from a variety of programming like poetry discussions to trips we'll take to anywhere ranging from New York University to the local pool to programming on current events. And for consistent stories and like anecdotes, an example, you know, in my first week here, meeting a grandparent whose information I took down and whose youth information I took down, and having her look me dead in the eyes and say the peace of mind that I have knowing that my grandchild's got something to do is pretty incredible. Another good example is we've got a grandfather here. He's raising his 10-year-old granddaughter. That granddaughter's mother was about 14 years old when she gave birth to that child. Was just not mature enough to take care of her. That mother then married another man at the age of 17, had about 2 more kids. Now, that grandfather has been raising that grandchild since birth, and she is his whole world. And she's an incredible person. She does everything from playing violin to doing ballroom dance. She'll be going into 6th grade this fall. And it's an incredible example of, you know, the type of success that this program can foster. Another good example is a young man who was living with his grandmother in this building, was incarcerated due to an event that happened in his previous life at like age of like 22 or 23. And he bounced back from that, was incarcerated, and then went to go on to college, which he's completing successfully in the honor roll. And I definitely, not only would I say that this program is a part of what's helped those folks, but they would say it too, and they have said it. So those are a couple of anecdotes. So
sure. So what's the current definition of kinship families? I wasn't even familiar with that term until recently.
Yeah, so it used to mean, usually, it typically was a grandparent raising a grandchild, but really it's any family unit where the parent is not the primary caregiver. Recently, I think at least New York State has expanded the definition for legal purposes. So majority of the families usually is a relative, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Okay. And what are kinship family dynamics, and are there any trends in that area?
Sure. I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is with grandparents raising grandchildren, it's not a typical, you know, grandparent-grandchild relationship where you kind of get to spoil the grandkid and give them back. You know, it's like you're parenting all over again, and now you're older. And so there's a lot of things to consider. Also the other thing is that a lot of times it's not for necessarily happy reasons that family in the situation. It could be, the parent might be alive but have lost custody. It's a really tough transition. And then what we've also seen is that, you know, eventually this is a grandparent or somebody, an older person, a lot of times raising a small child. And so then they're also aging. So at some point the roles become reversed, and that's hard in any family with a caregiving situation where, you know, even if you're caring for mom and dad, these people who raised you, now suddenly you're the caretaker. It's, I think, even stranger when you're a small child and you're worried about, you know, grandparents' health, because that's the only person that, you know, you have to go to. So it's very tough. And one specific trend that we're also seeing a lot over the years of having a building is that the grandparents are getting younger and younger. You know, it used to be 60 and over was very normal, and now we're even seeing, you know, 50-year-olds applying for the building that are already raising their grandchildren. So I think in that way, also expanding. So we've actually changed the rules to live here because to accommodate, you know, the need.
Right.
So.
So do you see, are there situations where the parents do take back the children and raise them? Or is this a situation, what are the trends that way? Is it once the grandparent has them, do they kind of raise them the full way?
I think in any situation, ideally, the parent would eventually regain custody, assuming that they're, you know, alive and able to.
Able to, right.
But sadly, I don't think with our families that's been the case. There are, I think, families where the parent might become involved again or have some involvement. It doesn't mean they're totally out of the picture. They might just not legally be in charge. So when it's safe for everybody, that's always the ideal situation. Right. But, you know, I can't say that we've seen too much of that.
Gotcha. And I appreciate the comments about the role reversals. We have somebody else on the summit who is president of the American Association of Caregiving Youth. And while the statistics around millennial caregivers, family caregivers, have certainly come to the forefront, you don't realize there's over a million people under the age of 18 who are caregivers in some respect. So that's a hard thing to kind of grasp sometimes. Yeah. Absolutely. So what is the follow-up after initial contact look like for your youth participants?
Absolutely. So again, this goes off the context that Anya just laid out about how busy folks are maintaining just the normalcy of their own lives, and then the interplay of that with the relationship that grandparents and the grandchildren have. And so it is difficult, again, keeping up with the pace of a youth that's under the age of 18, and that same youth is working to get an education, maintain a social life, some sense of normalcy. And in that context, you've got to be a presence that is asked for, right? That's not as intrusive. And so the combination that I've seen successful is that when you're first interacting with folks, obviously active listening in the first interaction, to the youth as much as the grandparent, and not necessarily what they're saying, but oftentimes the dynamic between the two of them, and focus on the conversation on personal, social, and school goals for the youth. I think that's something that's been really productive with me, is on the first contact, getting a really clear idea of what these folks' personal goals are. Oftentimes, somebody has just not even asked them. And then the second dimension I'd give for follow-up is thoroughness in the services you're provided. So when following up with kinship families, I always have exact dates, times, locations of the services provided, describing what people get out of it, and the next step to be a part of the program. I always work to brainstorm questions I think people might have and do as much of the logistical work for the family as possible, so that all they've literally got to do is show up. Timeliness in doing so. So the moment that kinship families are the most interested in our services is when they're walking out of the door after talking to us, right? And so following up within 24 to 48 hours about what's going to happen next. And that rate of interest that people have is going to decline. It's not because the work we're doing is bad, but people just have other things in their lives. And then lastly, it's got to be exciting and it's got to be fun. For youth, especially in kinship relationships and families, being able to have fun for the sake of having fun is incredibly important. And alongside, you know, programming that can be really dense, right? Like parenting for a second time around course, talking about sexual activities, the mood should always be engaging, and see how much of any type of youth service can be a discussion versus like a seminar, right? To be as engaging as possible. So that's what follow-up and successful follow-up has looked like in my time here.
Right. And I imagine adults could learn about just having fun for fun's sake too. So, so I just wanted to, from point of clarification, in the apartments, it's actual grandparents with grandchildren living in the apartments, correct?
And we're very proud that it's the first of its kind in the nation. I believe some others have popped up. There's for sure one in Queens. And I think Florida has a building like this, but it was first done here. So
yeah, and you anticipated my next question. So good. And are there other kinship programs for people in the community who are not living in the apartments?
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So actually our program is not just necessarily for the building. Obviously the apartments are the only ones we have, but right. Any kind of, what's nice is we support caregivers throughout the five boroughs. Specifically for kinship, we cover the Bronx and Upper Manhattan. I'm fairly sure there's other caregiver programs that can also help kinship families, say in Brooklyn, Staten Island, Lower Manhattan, things like that. But you know, anybody can always contact us, and we would, you know, make that referral to the appropriate source if we're not the right place. But we do involve families from other, you know, as long as they live in the neighborhood, if they want to come, they can participate in the events in the building or whatever we're doing all around the city.
Gotcha. So what does leading by example as someone who works with youth mean?
Yeah. So for me, the definition of that would be that you're not just talking about youth, but that you're talking to them, right? It means that people learn how to work with kinship families because they're watching you do it versus explaining how to do it and having you micromanage volunteers. When the youth are around with all programs, it's prime time, right? That's the space you want to be in. That's the work you want to be doing when you want to be engaging with youth. Like if I am putting on a program in GFA, or if I'm doing services that I provide for groups of youth outside of this building, everybody knows it, right? My supervisor knows it. It's on my calendar. I'm not going to, you know, or I will be if it's an emergency, but the expectation is that when youth are there, you're actively engaging with them, and that if you can, you do it on your feet. And that everything else can be done. Everything that can be done during the morning, right? When youth are at school, like you have to prioritize your time so that all the computer work happens when folks are learning. And then when they get back, there's really no reason why you're not front and center working with folks. And that if your schedule isn't as flexible, you know, you think strategically about how you want to place yourself during programming and interacting with youth, right? So, you know, while I might have several volunteers that are running a tutor program for 2.5 hours a day after school, if I have something that's coming up that I need to respond to, I'm going to plug myself in for the first 30 minutes, right? And then I'm going to debrief those volunteers and talk about how their day went at the last 15, right? So making sure that people know that you're not afraid to get your hands dirty, right? Like,
right.
I have, in several instances, walked around my office with paint on my shirt because that was, right? You can't.
I thought he ate pizza.
It was acrylics. Being able to work with folks and have that engaging presence, and the great thing about that is that when I have ideas, I can talk to my supervisor, but I can also talk to the youth that I want to service, and they're not like, yeah, that's great, right? They know I'm actively listening to them. I want feedback, right? So, yeah, to summarize it, it's talking to kids. It's not just talking about them.
Yeah, and getting your hands dirty so they could see by example as well. So good for you. So, you know, not everyone who's going to be viewing this or listening to this has the access to such great programs. And obviously, they're not all in urban areas that, because I did some research, I'm in the Charlotte area now, North Carolina, and we do have some kinship programs here that I was reading about. And so I think urban areas tend to do that, but I'm sure we have some viewers in other areas. What advice would you give our grandparent caregivers who are watching who may not have access to programs such as yours?
Absolutely. This is something that Anya and I were talking about. Remember that your grandchildren absolutely do love you in almost every case. One of the recurring motifs of this work I've noticed is that grandparents make the unrequited love that they have for their youth visible in almost all their actions, right? They go the extra mile to get the right books, to asking for hugs and kisses before they go to sleepaway camp, to cooking the best meals or ingredients. Youth, however, can at times come off as ambivalent and even distant, especially male-bodied youth, what some would call boys. It's important to remember that these kids are gonna grow up and, in my prediction, be pretty grateful for everything folks have done. And it's really easy to forget that, I think, in the middle of caring for a youth and then having your own care needs being met, that they are a child, they're learning how to be their own person, and it's hard. And it can be even harder to accept that as a grandparent. It's in the context of your own personal loss as a parent, right? Like everything this grandparent's going through, and on top of that, their grandchild's like, no, I don't want to give you a hug before school, right?
Right.
So remembering that, like, in those moments, they will become grateful, right? And they absolutely do love you. There's so much going on that's easy to forget. The situation may not get better, but they get better. And so the other advice I'd give you is to join online support groups on social media like Facebook. Remembering that you're not alone in this care relationship. There are so many others like grandparents caring for children. One inspiring thing that GFA has is that it's the camaraderie amongst the grandparents and the bond they all share, right? But that can be replicated over bigger pictures of space and time because we have social media, right? And so those types of groups for specific towns, regions, and areas, because distance doesn't matter anymore. So those would be my two takeaways that I tell folks.
I'm sorry, Anya. Are there any particular, like, I know a whole nother issue is solo agers or elder orphans, they call them, you know, women who are living alone. And a friend of mine, another summer participant, actually started a Facebook group just for that.
Oh, that's great.
Population. Yeah. Do you know of any Facebook groups for this population?
Absolutely. So within our own area and sort of the education efforts that I've obtained, there's a bunch of different social media groups. I think the one that I was most familiar with was in Minnesota. I don't remember the exact name of it now, but in its spirit, it's totally, totally revolutionary and inspiring that folks can have that type of camaraderie and groups and group support. The exact name of which I don't remember, but I can get back to you. I can send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be great. And people can just go on Facebook, hopefully, and search for kinship programs and see what they find. Anya, I'm sorry, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think also contacting your, every state has a AAA, in New York, it's Department for the Aging, but I think those are also great resources. So that's whatever the aging department is, that's a lot of times where the caregiving funding is coming from. And so I think that's a good resource. Obviously the internet is your best friend, but I'd be very shocked if not every state had some kind of programming for this at this point. There's also wonderful trainings like, Powerful Tools for Caregivers. It's an evidence-based training that I know people across the country are trained in. And so if you go to their website, you could find classes. And there's different ones. There's ones geared towards raising children, and there's ones geared towards caring for an older person. But that's the one I'm aware of. There might be other really wonderful classes like that, but that's for sure a national program that I think people could really benefit from and meet other people in a similar, you know, caregiving situation. Sure. And the biggest takeaway is that everybody, I think, always feels like they're alone. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm the only one going through this. And so if nothing else, if you can find somebody else or a group or something just so that you have that, you know, mutual aid and things, I think that's the best thing anybody can do for themselves.
And if it's not there, then organize it yourself.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
That's what my friend did. Yeah, absolutely. Gavin and Anya, I want to thank you for being on the summit. Any last words before we depart here?
No, thank you for your time.
Yes, well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, and I appreciate your passion for what you're doing. It takes special people to be able to do what you're doing. So hopefully people will learn a lot from this session. And again, thanks for participating.
Much appreciated. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.